Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom. We're now in Masechet Tamid, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Bet. And this will be a unique podcast. We're going to cover three chapters of Mishnah, the Perakei Vav and Zayin of Masechet Tamid, which will complete our study of Tamid. There is no Gemara in these Prakim. So to begin, the fifth parak, Amalem HaMemuneh. And now we are in Lishkat HaGazit. We've completed the first part of the Avodat HaTamid, and of the first part of cleaning out the Mikdash. They come back to Lishkat HaGazit. The Memuneh tells them to say one bracha, Machloket in Gemara Brachot, Viz Yotzer Or Ahav Araba, but the Amorim understand that this is one of Brachot Kriyat Shema, V'hen Baruchu, Karu Aseret HaDvarim. So they read the Aseret HaDibrot. Famously, the Gemara records several Braitot where there are attempts to introduce this also into the then forming public prayer every day outside of the Mikdash, and they didn't do it because of the claims of the Christians. Shema v'ayim shemua v'ayomer. They said the three parashot of Shema. Baruchu ta'am shalosh brachot. Then they blessed the people with three brachot, people being the Yisraelim who are in the Azara. And met v'yatsiv v'avodah u'brachat kohanim. Avodah is not to return the Avodah to Yerushalayim, as we say it, but rather to accept our Avodah. Brachat Kohanim, uve Shabbat mosifin bracha achat l'mishmar yotzei. And on Shabbat, they would add another bracha to the mishmar that was coming, that was leaving, they would say to the mishmar that was coming in, according to the Gemara, if it's in brachot, they would say, Mish sheken et shmo b'vayit hazeh, he who enshrined his name in this house, yeshkin b'nechem ahava v'yachva v'shalom v'reyut. Okay, the next and third pious of the four, Amalem Chadashim Liktoret. So anybody new, meaning somebody who never in their life had a chance to do the Ktoret, can come in for the pious. Ba'u v'afisu, v'afisu, they did the pious. Efisu zacha mishzacha, ba'u v'afisu, hefisu, they did the pious, zacha mishzacha, whoever won, and we remember that, there's going to be two guys who win. And then Chadashim imishanim, everybody together, ba'u v'afisu, come in for a pious. Mimale ivarim in hakevesh lamizbeach. Who's going to now bring those things that were left on the kevesh halfway up to bring them up to the mizbeach? He says, no, whoever brought it partway up goes back and finishes the job. There is no fourth pious. Okay, now, Misarum is a reference to those Kohanim who did not win any of the lotteries, who are not able to wear a big day kuna because they're not doing avodah. So they were handed up over to some Chazanim, who were in charge of this, they would take off the belt, the shirt, and the hat, and they would leave their pants on, and then they would put into like little cubbies in the windows each of these sets of garments, and then they would change into their regular clothes, change into their regular pants, and then that would be at least for the morning. Haya notel et hakaf. Now, whoever won Ktoret would get a big pot, like a spoon. It's like a big golden bowl, kind of similar to what we heard about the collection of the ashes in the Mikdash. And it holds three kabim. There's a little cup inside. Already filled with Ktoret. And there was a cover on it, and there was some sort of like a string that was on top of it to pull it open. Now, there's another fellow who got the right to bring the fire in. So now, there was a silver fire pan that he took. He would go to the Mizbeach. Sounds like Trumat Tadeshin. And he moved the coals to each side. And then he took some coals from the middle, the really hot ones. Yarad v'iran, the toch shel zahav. He came down, and down on the floor, he poured it into a smaller fire pan that was gold. And what happened was there was an overspill of about a kav worth of coals. He would sweep them into the trench, so it would go out. Uva Shabbat, and psachter. On Shabbat, you can't do that. It's muktzah, therefore he would cover them over with a big bowl. Upsachter, I talk ligat omachzeg letach. It would hold 15 se'ah. Ushtesha shomotayuba, it had two chains on it. Achat shumoshechba V'yored, one to pull it, V'yachat shu ochez ba milamalan shoshtot kalgel, and one to pull it on top so it doesn't roll over. What was this for? It was used for three things. Kofeno talga be'gechalim, to cover up gechalim on Shabbat. V'yal ha-sheretz b'Shabbat, if they found a dead sheretz in the mikdash on Shabbat, again, you can't move it, and therefore they would use it to cover it. U'moridin ba'atadeshen me'al gabim mizbeach, and on however frequently was needed, they would fill up all the deshen from the mizbeach that was not taken out in Shumat HaDeshen and use it to empty it out. Remember the 300 core, that guzma that was used. Okay, higiyu ben ha'ulam v'lam mizbeach. Then these two fellows went between the ulam and the mizbeach, and again, you're not allowed to go there unless you're doing an avodah. Now somebody else would take a shovel and throw it in there, and it was really done to make a clatter so to alert everybody. You couldn't hear another person talking in Yerushalayim if that thing was made such a big racket. Remember, that was one of the things that was heard all the way in Yericho. There were three things that was used for. Kohen Shomeat Kola, meaning this tool was used once, and that was to make the racket. And the racket signified different things to different groups. He knows that the other Kohanim are now going to go into the Mikdash. We'll hear about this in the next parak, and they are going to prostrate themselves, so he'll run and join them. Ben Levi, if there's a Levi around, the Levim very soon will be singing, and so he's going to come join him. Rosh HaMa'amad, the head of the Ma'amad of Yisraelim. Again, as the Kohanim and Levim have Mishmarot, the Bnei Yisrael have Ma'amadot, so that they're also participating in the Korban. And so whoever was the head of that Ma'amad, Ayah Ma'amir Tatmeim Mishar Mizrach, he would take the Tmeim and put them in the eastern gate so that they could be present for the Korban. They couldn't come into the Ezrat Yisrael. So now the next parak, Kechelu Olim Malot HaUlam, the Kohanim would start walking up the steps to the ulam. We'll hear in Midot what those steps look like, how deep they were, how high they were. These are not the steps, the famous steps that Levim sung on. This is only Kohanim can be here. If you remember, we had a fellow whose job it was to clean out the inner Mizbeach and the menorah. Two different fellows. They would walk in front of them. The fellow who had cleaned off the Mizbeach HaPnimi, if you may recall, he left the big golden basket with the ashes in front of the Mizbeach. Now he'd go in and take it, and he prostrated himself and left. And this should remind us of the Avodah Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol puts the Ketoret inside, but then comes back after the Musaf to go collect it and take it out. The one who cleaned up the menorah, Nachnas v'Matzah Shtei Nerot, should be Ma'arav V'im Dolkin. He would come in and find the westernmost candles still lit. If you would, then Menashen Tamizrachi, he would clean out the rest of them. Meniach et Ma'aravi Dolek, and leave the western ones lit. Shemenu Rayim Likat HaMenorah V'Nevayim, because in the afternoon, when they light all seven, they would start from the western one. Metzaosh HaKavah, if it happened to have gone out, Medashto Umadliki would clean it out and relight it Mizbach HaOlah, from the fire on the outside Mizbeach. He also took what he had left behind, which was that big flat golden flask that was sitting on the second step of the three steps up in front of the menorah. He would prostrate and then he would walk out with the flask. Now the third guy, the guy who had gotten the coals, and he was carrying the coals in this now transferred into this golden fire pan. He went in and he put the coals on top of the inner mizbeach, and he would spread them out with the back of the fire pan. He bowed down and walked out. Now, the big winner, the fellow who got to light the ktoret, he would take the cup that was on the inside that was packed with ktoret, he'd give it to one of his kohanim friends or relatives, he got to honor with this, and then it would spread inside of the calf. Then he would put it into the hands of the fellow who won the ktoret. Because it's something you only did once in your life, therefore he didn't have any experience, they would teach him, don't put it close to you, start from far away. Because if you put it close to you, you're going to get burned. He started spreading it out. By the way, he wouldn't start putting it down until the Mumunah said, Hakter. If the Kohen Gadol was the one doing this, he would say, my Kohen Gadol, please, smoke it up. Parshua Am Miktir, everybody would then walk away. He'd put in the Ktoret, Vishtachavu Yatzah. And he would bow and then leave. And now the final parak deals with some more details here, and especially when the Kohen Gadol is involved. Bizman she Kohen Gadol nechnas tishtachavot, if the Kohen Gadol goes in to bow in the Kodesh, Shlosha or Chazinbo, three people hold on to him. Chad b'mino, chad b'smolo, royalty, v'chad b'vinim tovot, one of them is holding on to the Choshen. V'kevan shema mumuneh kol aglav she Kohen Gadol, when the mumuneh would hear the Kohen Gadol coming, because he'd be wearing the me'il with the bells, shehu yotzei, b'yalo at ha-parochet, he would lift up the big parochet. Remember, there's a parochet, the huge one. We talked about needing ke'ilu 300 kohanim to put in the mikvah, which is 20 by 40, which is the front of the ulam. Nichnas v'shtachavev yatsa. He went in, he bowed down, he went out. Nichusu achala kohanim v'shtachavev yatsu. Then the other kohanim would come in, they would bow. There's an opportunity to go into the mikdash and bow, and they would leave. If the kohen gadol wasn't there, they would do that after the regular day done the ktoret. Ba'ovem du'a malot ha'ulam. Now back to a regular day without the kohen gadol involved. They would come out and then stand on the steps going up to the ulam. I'm doing Shonin the Darom. The first fellows, the one you're talking about, these four would stand on the south, which means if you're facing the ulam, they're on your left. They had five kelim. Hateni biyadachad, one of them is holding the teni with the ashes. Hakuz biyadachad, one of them is holding the kuz with the ashes from the norah. V'hamachta biyadachad, one of them is holding the fire pan. V'abezach biyadachad, one of them is holding the bezach that had the Torah in it. V'kaf v'kisuya biyadachad, and another one, this could have been maybe that relative or friend of the Torah fellow, is holding the kaf itself and its cover. U'vachutam bracha achat, and here they would give birchat kohanim. Ela, and here's the difference between birchat kohanim that we know and what they did in the mikdash. This is mentioned in Sota. Elshbina, omrim ota shalosh brachot mikdash bracha achat. In the mikdash, it's done as one straight bracha without a break. In outside, we do it as three brachot, of course. Yishmerecha, Yichuneka, Shalom. Mikdash Omrim Et Hashem Kichtavo. In the Mikdash, they said Shem Hashem, the way it's written. Dina Kichnuyo. In the Medina, we say it the way that we say Hashem, Shem Hashem all the time. Dina Kohanim Yosim Et Kapem Yedem Keneged Kitfoteim. Outside of the Mikdash, the Kohanim lift up their arms, and they lift them even with their shoulders. But Mikdash, Agaveh Hashem. In the Mikdash, they lifted over their heads, straight up. Chutz v'Kohen Gadol, Shem Magbet Yadav D'mal Menatzitz. So Tanakama says, Kohen Gadol does not lift his hands higher than the tzitz. If you don't have Kohen Gadol, Magbet Yadav D'mal Menatzitz. It's not true, the Kohen Gadol does. What's his proof section? Emar, V'Saron Tadav Elam V'Yivarchem. Aaron lifted up his hands and blessed the people. And that's Aaron on the day of the dedication of Mikdash. He's wearing all eight Gadim, including the tzitz. Okay, Bizman Shekohen Gadol Rotzeh Lahaktir, if the Kohen Gadol wants to burn the Evarim, Hayah Oleh B'Kevesh, he'd go up the Kevesh, from the Evarim are halfway up, V'Askan B'Mino, he's got his assistant on his right, Higeh Lachzid HaKevesh, he'd get halfway up, Achaz HaSagan B'Mino V'Elahu, the Sagan would take his right hand and help him up, Hoshid Lo Rishon HaRosh, the first guy who had the Rosh would hand it to the Kohen, V'HaRegel, and hand him the back leg, V'Samach Aleihem, and then the Kohen would put his hands on. Now this is not a ritual smicha, it's just called Kohen Gadol. And then V'Zarkan, and then he'd throw it onto the fire. Hoshita Shin Rishon, Shtei Adayim, the second guy would then hand the first guy the two hands, the two forelegs, Nam Kohen Gadol, and he would hand it up to the Kohen Gadol, V'Samach Aleihem, V'Zarkan. And he put his hands on him, and he'd throw them up. Nishmat Hasheni. Now, the second guy backed off, but the first guy gets this kavod of being closest to the Kohen Gadol. That's how they did all of the Evarin. So, Mechalen Mizorkan. If he'd like to honor somebody else, who's Sumech Lachim Zorkin, he can put his smich and let them throw it on. If they, when the Kohen Gadol or the Kohen officiating, is going to now circumnavigate the Mizbeach, so he's going to do Nesachim, which is now the end of the Avodat HaTamid. Mechanu Matchil, where does he start? This is not for Zrikat Adam, because the Dam has already been put. It's not for Astarat HaIvarim, they've already been put on. Keren Dromit Mizrachit, so he's up on the Kevesh, he takes a right turn, goes to the southeast corner. So Chitzvoni takes a left turn and goes to the northeast corner. Another left turn, Tzvonit Maravit, northwest corner. Maravit Dromit, another left turn, goes to the southwest corner. And there's the two holes that the wine goes in. Natnu Lo Yayin Nasech. Haskan omed al hakeren. The skan is right at the corner. Vasudayim yado. He has some flags or kerchiefs in his hand, and we'll see what they're for. Ushnei kohanim omdim al shochan achalavim. Shnei chatzotzot shel kesef biyadam. It's a magical moment. Two kohanim are standing on a particular table there, and they've got two trumpets. Taku ve'riyu v'taku. They blasted the trumpets. Ba'u ve'amdu etzel ben Arza. And the Levim now went next to Ben Arza, where he is, or these two Kohanim actually went next to Ben Arza. Ben Arza, you'll see, is the one who, remember, he makes so much sound with his cymbal, you hear it in Yericho. Shacham and Asech, when the Kohen Gadol bent over, or whoever bent over, in order to pour the Nesachim, ve'nifaskan asudarim, then the skan would wave the flags, hekich Ben Arza betzilzal, he'd start hitting the cymbal, and the Levim started singing the song of that day, which we're going to find out in the last Mishnah. When they've got to either to the end of a chapter or to a stopping place in the middle of the song, they blasted the shofar, the chatzotzrot, and everybody bowed. For every juncture, every point, stanza end, there's a tkiah, and at every tkiah, ishtachaviyah, a prostration. And now, what looks like the end of the Masechet, Zeu Seder Tamid Avodat Beit Elohinu, Hatzon Shibaneh B'mehira V'yameinu, Amen. And that's on our handout as our little Siyum piece, that this is, what we've studied is the Seder HaTamid. However, there's this evidently a Braita that was added in, or a Mishnah that was put in out of order, that because the last Mishnah said that the Levim sang these songs, we find out what the songs are, and we're all familiar with this passage, first of all because we say Shir Shayom every day, and second of all because We mentioned this passage in the expanded version of Pitvah Torah. It's said on Shabbat V'chag. Hashir shayu avim omim veit b'mikdash. Ve'yom yishon ayomim adonai hartzum lo'a tevel v'yoshvah, Psalm 24. Shanim ayomim gadol adonai m'leol mehir lehenu akucho, great praise for Yerushalayim, Psalm 48. Shashir ayomim alim tzad batadel b'kerv alohim yishpot, and that is Psalm 82. Parviyah ayomim al nekabot adonai nekot hafiyah, Psalm 94. And that is, of course, the mention of Tikkun V'Chodesh Shofar, and that's Psalm 81. Psalm 93. And then we translate that Psalm 92, that title, into Mizmor Shir, Latid Lavo, Yom Shekulo Shabbat B'Nachal Chayyar Lamim, a song for the future world, which is all Shabbat and rest forever. And with that, we've completed our study of Masechet Tamid. Just three little things to mention about the Shir HaLevi'im. First of all, you notice that the Shir HaLevi'im here is recited even on Shabbat with the Tamid Shel Shachar, which is the reason for the common minhag in Eretz Yisrael and the minhag Sfard in Chutz Laaretz to always say Shir Shalom after Shacharit, even on the day when there's Musaf, unlike minhag Ashkenaz in Chutz Laaretz, which is to say Shir Shalom after Musaf or at the end of davening. What indeed did the Levim sing on Shabbatot for the Shira with the Musaf? They would sing Ha'azinu. And that is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that we discussed quite a while ago in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. And interestingly enough, it was broken up into six hardwired aliyot. Haziv Lach is the mnemonic. And that is the one parsha that we have where the breaking points are inflexible. You have to break at those 6 points when you read Kriyat HaTorah, and those, there was a 6-week cycle where they would read Ha'azinu. Why is another discussion. I've actually written about it in another context about why that was the Shir of Musaf. Second thing is that the Shir Shel Yom has an expanded version. This Mishnah has an expanded version in Masechet Sofrim, which is a 9th century compilation from the Gaonic period of Minhagei Beit HaKnesset, from the times, going back to the times of the Tanaim. And in it, it lists all sorts of variations of Shir Shel Yom on special days like Chanukah and Purim and Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. And famously, the Gaon Mivilna, and therefore the minhag of many Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael, is to recite the special Shir Shel Yom either along with or in place of the ones that we say during the particular day of the week when it's a chag or a special day. There are sort of echoes of that minhag and the very common minhag that we have of adding Barchi Nafshi on Rosh Chodesh, and of some communities that add Mizmor Shir Chanukah Tavayit David on Chanukah. But in any case, that's that piece. The last thing is just something interesting about Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. And that is that, as you know, the Chazal are of the opinion that Sefer Tehillim is a compilation, an anthology, that was either anthologized by David per the Brayta and Masechet Bava Batra, or anthologized hundreds of years later by Ezra, as per the Midrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah or Kohelet Rabbah. In any case, it was contributions of many, many people over the millennia, really, who said tefillot of different sorts, and the oldest one, according to Chazal, is this one. It's Mimor Shalei Shabbat, which was originally said by Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, according to Midrash Breshit Rabbah, composed this song when he found out that Cain, who had a death sentence on him for killing his brother, had, as the Midrash puts it, kind of met God halfway, done what I call a plea bargain, and as the Midrash says, asiti tshuva v'nit pasharti. And so therefore, Adam, in hearing this, says, kachi kochat shel tshuva v'ni lo yadati, this is how powerful tshuva is, you could actually get some sort of a reprieve, I didn't know this, and he immediately said, Mizmor Shir, because what did he say? Tov lahodot l'Hashem, which we understand is, tov lehitvadot l'Hashem, it's good to confess, not to thank, but to confess. And the Midrash goes on to say that that song was then forgotten and was revived, as it were, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Ukra'ohu al Shmo. And Moshe Rabbeinu rewrote it, as it were, saved it, resurrected it, and put his name on it. So what does the Midrash mean? Was it put his name on it? So the common understanding is that according to Meir, Moshe's birth name was Tov. Tov, Moshe's mother saw him, Yaliki Tovu, he's a good boy, so Tov, and therefore Tov l'hodot l'Hashem, unless he put in the word Tov. But another way to understand it is that he put in a title, and what's the title? Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbat. And if you read it, Mizmor, Mem, Shir, and HaShabbat, spells Moshe, a colophon that we're very accustomed to in our Zmirot, where the author puts his name into the title, by using the first letter of the subsequent lines to do that. In any case, some interesting observations about the Shir Shel Yom. Mirz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin our study of Masechet Midot, which is all Mishnah, and with that conclude our study of Seder Kodashim. In the meantime, Chen Chen to all of the Talmidim who together have studied and successfully completed the study of Masechet Tamid. Yei Ratzon that we should merit having these halachot be practical, and we should see a return of the Shechina to Tzion, Tachazena, Inenu B'Shevcha Tzion, Barachamim, Shakoach.